I gotta tell you, this feels really strange. I'm sitting in the bedroom of my house, talking into a microphone, and I don't have any idea what the circumstances of your hearing will be. You could be listening in any number of situations, and probably it feels just similarly weird, strange to you. But it's more than the method, it's the context. I can't remember ever addressing folks when every single one was in crisis. Almost every week when I stand before the church, there are people listening who are in crisis. And all of us have experienced crisis, so we always have a reference point. But right now, all of us are involved in a crisis. Not a minor crisis, but one of a more enormous proportion. My older grandchildren are 8 and 10, and they will remember this time. For all of their lives, they will remember these days and the feelings they had and the actions that were experienced. So how do you deal with it? Some will choose to try to ignore it. Maybe you've seen the media reporting on the spring breakers in Florida. Maybe like me, you've watched those kids and perhaps even cringed when they were interviewed. But in fairness, they're young and they don't know what to do. Just have some fun and hopefully it will go away. Maybe we look to government, and government does have a role, and there are many different ideas that are being floated, but the startling reality is that the government leaders don't know what to do. This is an attack by an entity that is more powerful than any of the governments of our world. Hopefully government can help, but the solutions that they're choosing are simply guesses. Maybe they'll work, maybe they won't. Perhaps we look to science, saying, science will get us through this. Those are the people we can count on. And we've listened to some really smart folks. They really know what they're doing, and they've developed some amazing tools in the medical field. There are tests and ventilators and so many things that can be critically important. It appears that given time, they could develop a vaccine. And currently, they're providing practical suggestions like washing your hands, keeping your hands off your face, and maintaining social distance. They have been, for me, one of the most difficult groups to hear from because they often are more practical and realistic and therefore more frightening. So which path do we take? If you find yourself agitated, worried, distressed, those feelings are very normal. But I want to challenge you today to think about the fact that God has more in mind for us than that, even in these really hard moments. This is a great time to pick up your Bible. And if you start to thumb through it, a great place to begin would be 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, where it says simply, cast all your anxiety on Him, because He cares for you. God says to us, give me your stress, give me your worry, give me your fear. You keep doing the things that you're being advised to do. You let me do the heavy lifting. Well, why would God do that for me? Because He loves me. Because He loves you. He cares about what you're experiencing. And I believe He says to us, get in my lap and let me take care of this. As you keep thumbing through your Bible, you'll find verses like Isaiah 41, verse 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Boy, that fear comes so easily. Just watching the news can be frightening, maybe to the point where it might be a good idea to even to limit some of the ways and time that we spend watching the news. But God says that He's with us and that we don't have to fear. He doesn't want us living in fear. I'm your personal God. We have a relationship. God kept saying to Israel, I will be your God and you will be my people, and nothing has changed. Nothing has changed in that equation. He says, I'm going to strengthen you and help you. I'm going to give you the strength that you need. Right now, probably a lot of us are feeling pretty powerless, feeling like we are just kind of at loose ends and don't really know how to bring a conclusion. And God says, rely on me to deliver that strength. Allow me to put some power into your life, because I'm going to uphold you. I'm going to uphold you by my righteous right hand. I don't think it would be unfair to call that an uncontaminated hand. Right now, when we see people, we have no idea who is contaminated. We have no idea who could spread the disease. God says, this is a pure and holy hand. There's no contamination with me. A little boy is trying to help his family as they move to a new house. He's attempting to carry a small box of books upstairs to his new room. The task is just too large. He can't do it. Finally, he just sits down on the stairs and begins to cry. His dad comes and talks to him, and what dad asks him is, have you done everything you could to get this box upstairs? While the little boy insists that he has, dad says, no, you really haven't, because you haven't asked me for help. And then dad picks up the boy holding the books and carries both of them to the room. And that's where we are right now. As much as we struggle, God comes along and says, you haven't asked me. Boy, we're used to doing things. We're used to accomplishing things. We're used to contributing. We feel good when we do that. And we feel like there's an expectation that that's how we earn our way and that's how we pay our part. And right now, we're not being asked to do very much. Well, wash your hands and stay awake from other folks and let this go away and let this pass. We find ourselves maybe with a lot of personal time, and in some ways that's an opportunity that might never come again for us. An opportunity for us to be retrospective, for us to study, for us to spend time in prayer, to spend time in God's Word as we interact with the people who are watching or monitoring in our shelter, in our homes as well. It may be that it gives us that opportunity to find that quiet corner of life where we began to hear in a real way the things that God has been saying to us that we just really haven't taken into our souls and into our heart. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I'm God. I'll be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. We don't want to just sit and watch. We have the opportunity to be still and to learn. There's a passage from Exodus chapter 14 that really, I think, serves as the bookend to this passage. You know that the children of Israel were slaves in the land of Egypt. And ultimately, the children of Israel were freed. And they've left in grand style. The people of Egypt have given them so many things and set them loose. With great joy, the Israelites begin their journey to their new home, their new destiny, their new identity. But we know that there's a threat. There's always a threat to everything. And as they come to the place where they're camped by the Red Sea, they look up and Pharaoh has changed his mind. And here he comes riding down with his massive, powerful army. And it's no surprise that they're overwhelmed by fear. Here they are, camped with their backs to the sea. And what do? They begin to wail faithlessly. Exodus 14:13-14. Moses answered the people, do not be afraid. Stand firm. And you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still. Just be still. Just be still. It's a little song. Be still and know that I am God. Well, we don't know why we're going through this particular time. One of the byproducts of that could certainly be the fact that we get a moment, we get a period of stillness in our lives that can change very much the future direction of where we're headed. It's not my attitude that's going to see me through this. It's not my government. Sure, some extra money might help or some government interventions might be useful. It's not science that will save me, and yet I'll be thrilled that some of those smart folks using their God-given brains figure out an easy answer. What's going to get me through this is my faith. And the reason that we have faith is for times like this. The confidence that no matter how dark or no matter how much it seems like there's no answer, that God can and will lift us up. We get a chance to show our faith to those around us. Faith that is a witness to what drives our lives. God certainly may use people, and he may lead them to strategies, the strategies that are the fulfillment of things that men can employ. But this is the moment for my faith to hold me up and to lead me to him. If God be for us, who can be against us? It's a scary time. A time we'll never forget. It's a time of growth, but it's also a time of choice. Whose direction will I seek? And whose leadership will I follow? In Haggai chapter 1, verse 13, it says, "Then Haggai, the Lord's messenger, gave this message of the Lord to the people. I am with you, declares the Lord." And that very simply has been my task today. In this unusual moment and through this unusual method, as I thought about what I should say, I realized that it was simply my responsibility to be God's voice and to share through his word, his declaration, "I am with you."